listening to CIOI The Hawk, 101.5 FM in Hamilton, Ontario.
The following podcast contains defiant content that may be disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
Expect defiance. It is a Tuesday on the 4th of August. New month, new me. You already know what it is. At Goldenrod Zen speaking, that's Denny G here with you once again. Thank you for listening, you valid listener person. If you like us so much, go on the Instagrams and look up Expect Defiance Podcast and click the follow button and send us comments and DMs and things. And let us know what you think of this. Or, you can go on the F Bissels and do the same. Because, you know, we're out there on Facebook, too. Yeah, that's what it is. Guess what? We're also on Twitter. So if you have a conspiracy theory you want to hit us up with, or whatever, whatever, we're here for it. Yeah, this is a departure point. I know I said last week and the friggin' week before that things are popping off for this shit, but it's real. We got some things coming down the pipeline, so I hope that you guys are ready for it. But for right now, because my valuable listeners are here, let's hit you with some new records, bro. We'll be right back.
Trojan.
Podcast contains defiant content that may be disturbing to some audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is a re-spin of last week's episode. Today is the 25th of August. Certain technical difficulties at the Hawk, as you can tell, it's COVID land, and I can't even be in the studio like that, so we had some concerns last week, but here is the episode that I wanted to show you last week. JSYK, you know what I mean? Check, check. Yo ho ho ho, what's good? Denzel Gordon here at Goldenrod Zen. You know, we're here on Expect Defiance Podcast Radio. Okay, what a world. It's August 17th. It's a Tuesday, everybody's favorite day. Go pick up your KFC special if you're about it. What's going on in the world? Ontario, we got a rise in the Rona. We were flattening the curve. We thought it was flat, like movie theater soda, or like a middle school ex-girlfriend, or like the prairies of Saskatchewan. We thought we had that shit flat. It's not as flat as we thought. Quebec is out here having less cases than us? I thought they were the bad guys. We're the good guys, doing all the right things. Who knows? I know, hanging out with your people, it's something we all want to do. We want to live our lives. This is weird times. But, you know, maybe we gotta remember the mask. Don't skip that mask. Maybe if you gotta pick up a new pack of Purell if you haven't had some in a while. Don't know what it is, but let's stay safe out here. I want to survive till 2021. I don't know about you, but yeah, Corona, the Russians, the Ruskies, the Red Ones. They're out here saying that they may have a vaccine to the Rona. But is it going to be tested right? Will the rest of the world just implement it? Well, they price gouge because they're Ruskies and they're out here trying to get some paper for themselves and their ideology. We don't really know. Will Donald siphon it into the American system because we know they're buddy-buddy? I don't know, but I do know that Donald is putting his foot down when it comes to important things like TikTok dancing. Donald has had it up to here to see the young teens dancing, shaking their ass to wet-ass pussy by Megan Thee Stallion and Cardi B. He's sick of it. It doesn't have anything to do with the fact that the Chinese government owns and collects all the data from all the accounts on TikTok, and they know exactly what records you're shaking your ass to, what, you know, maybe underground nudies are being popped off, and maybe they can use those for blackmail in the future, but who knows? Maybe it's just all good and fun, and just because the Reds are in control, should it be a bad thing? I don't know, but I'll tell you this, Donald has had it up to here, and he's sticking it to him. So rest in peace, TikTok. I know Zuckerberg has his own special platform where he can do fun things now, so maybe we move over to there for the kids, I don't know. But I do know one thing, though. Hackers, they come, they go. Cyber attacks from Monday, Sunday, whatever fun day, yo. Hey, remember CERB, the thing you get more than likely? Well, guess what, pal? Somebody has compromised thousands of CRA and Service Ontario and Canada accounts. What is going on? Somebody found a loophole in a thing, a backdoor of sorts, and now they're taking over people's bank accounts because of the information that has been logged onto Canada's websites for CERB. Ah, they're hackers in our midst. They're taking our monies and our things. This is 2020, the year of the dark side, the year of the other side of the coin. The no fun 20s has begun. Yeah, that's kind of what's going on in the news cycle like right now. I mean, we could talk about the Postal Service maybe being cahoots with Donald Trump for the next election. We could talk about a 10% aluminum tariff from the U.S. to us. Like, we did some shit. Fuck off. We could talk about the Red Lake Forest fire, but we're not going to talk about any of those things because I have something important to talk about. It's about Peter Parkour. Now, who is that? That's only Canada's Spider-Man. Yeah, soak that in. He's the feller, you may have seen him, Lauren Dundas, hanging on top of a telephone wire or something, you know. Anyway, he's a legendary Toronto street performer. He's the guy who for nearly the past decade has been dressing up as Spider-Man, taking pictures with you and yours, you know, making his living as a licensed street performer in the city. Until COVID-19. It disrupted his entire business. We're all the tourists. We're the people that even live in this city anyway to take pictures with me and give me tips so I can live in my nice little pad in Kensington. Things switched up for Peter Parkour. He had to move back to his hometown of Guelph, Ontario. And that's where I'll be setting the scene to bring you Peter Parkour, the king of Canadian cosplay. Let's go.
This is the Hawk, 101.5, Expect Defiance. Yo, I love this. I'm Denzel Gordon, and I'm here with Peter Parkour
himself. Toronto Spider-Man!
He already said it for you. If you didn't know, there is a man named Peter Parkour who, at Yonge and Dundas Square, is fully decked out in fully Spider-Man garb. Now, that's my perspective on it. Maybe he really is Spider-Man. It's a coin flip.
Oh, dangerous truths, dangerous truths. Can you imagine this hypothetically? What if, as a busker, a street performer, I had an alibi? And what if, in all actuality, as far back as 2016 on October 31st, when last recorded on City TV News with Spider-Man in real life catching a shoplifter on Yonge Street in costume, what if I have always had an alibi? What if, to protect myself from the police of our country, I walk around with a street performing license saying I'm just entertaining people? What if? That's a big hypothetical. Or is it?
Read between the lines, kids. You are Peter Parker's Spider-Man. You've been featured on Blog TO. You've been featured on City TV.
Yep.
You were almost featured on the CBC, but things got busy
and
with the COVID-19.
Ed the Sock won't talk to me!
Ed the Sock, I want you to reach out to me, because we've had a conversation.
Yeah, but
before.
Denzel, is this people's corner? Like, I'm trying to... No, you hear me.
Holy. But yeah, Peter Parkour, you've been performing as Spider-Man, doing street performances in Toronto for
we're getting to Guelph, aren't we?
How long have you been performing as Spider-Man?
So legally, as a licensed street performer, I've only been able to make money and collect profits as Spider-Man in downtown Toronto since I got my license in late 2013. So I guess you could say I've been Spider-Man on the books for 7 years.
In truth, how long have you maybe, perchance, off the record?
Probably since 1992, when I was 3 and I first saw Spider-Man, the greatest animated Spider-Man.
Yes.
For real. And by effing, I mean thwipping, by the way. I gotta watch it for the kids.
Yeah, you gotta watch it for the kids. We can only cuss after 9 p.m. And it's...
Yeah, well, like Wolverine says, he's got his words. He's got bub. I got thwip. Deadpool goes with Skrita or whatever, which is for when he's pulling his swords out of his pockets.
Yes. And you, as a street performer, got into performing as Spider-Man through, initially, your first foray into performing was breakdancing.
B-boying. Yeah.
B-boying. You have a deep love of hip-hop. How did you get into hip-hop?
Hip-hop, for me, is a lifestyle. It's a culture, right? And, yeah. Nasty knocks in your area, I'm about to cause mass hysteria, waving automatic guns at nuns.
100%.
One love.
Yeah.
No, for real. Illmatic is the
that
shit.
I flip them with the funky rhythm I'd be kicking.
Yeah, musician, inflicting composition, a pain, I'm like Scarface, sniffing cocaine, holding an M16, see with the pen I'm extreme, now.
Yeah. Alright, Peter. Peter's got some bars.
Yo,
Peter's got some
have you ever heard,
bars.
Not Illmatic, but Illmatic by Elzai?
I have not.
Elzai. Sounds like Common, sounds like, who else sounds like Common? Black Thought. Those two separate MCs who sound so similar. Sorry about the Star Wars lightsaber that's going off.
That's
all
right.
But, yeah, guys, just saying, any person who considers themselves Canadian or a good American who enjoys diversity around them, if you have not watched the Dave Chappelle show, enough said, you don't know hip-hop culture.
Right.
Check out Lauryn Hill, check out the Fugees, check out Wyclef Jean.
Yeah.
Check out, for real, man.
Tribe Called Quest. We could
The drummer, hold on.
Oh, you're talking about The Roots.
The Roots Crew about. Drummer, what's his name?
I love, man. Questlove.
If you don't know Questlove and John Mayer on Chappelle show, you don't know what's up.
Anyway, G here got into break dancing and the hip hop culture.
As a celebration of culture.
It is. And hip hop is all about taking from what has been. There's a nostalgia factor to hip hop because we sample records. You sample
Childhood.
Yes.
You sample your parents' history.
Yes.
You sample what's relevant in your time. You know, I read a book once called How to Rap. Got that from Chapters. And it taught me three, like, key rules. First off, be hip, so keep your shit relevant, right? That means that, like, if you write about something that's true to you, people will dig it, period. You can't be false. Mm. If you try to come into the scene writing all this fake-ass hard gangster shit because you heard it somewhere, it's always going to come off as fake shit. But if you're talking about your real life and your life gets pretty gangster if you're out in real life, you'll have some gangster flows to talk about quick. Just live a little. You know, Decisive. Derek Kristoff from Toronto. One of my favorite MCs has been rhyming for longer than Biggie Smalls or Eminem. And he's been slandered in the media of copying Slim Shady back in the 90s. D's a little bit more chubby now. He's a bit of a well-set man.
Word.
And because of that, and being a father, and still being independent this entire time and playing out more than 20 different albums of music, like full albums, like 12 songs an album. Decisive, or Derek, doesn't have a personal trainer. He's not Hollywood elite. And he gets Juno nominated almost every single year that he chooses to represent as an artist, right beside one guy. Canada's one guy.
Oh, Drizzy Drake, just kidding. I mean, I love Drizzy Drake.
Hold up. Did Denzel just guess that without being really cued in? Ooh, the Raptors are loose. Let's go, Toronto.
Yeah.
So, yeah, just saying. OVO, right? YOLO, you only live you.
Yeah.
You're Degrassi. Yeah. No offense, Drake. If you're hearing this, I hope you hear. You're down with Young Money. You show up in Toronto and back at your mansion to sleep there after you sit front rows at the Raptors games when they're winning. I don't see Drake in Toronto ever. I see Jason Momoa.
Yeah.
I see Aquaman walking through downtown Toronto, popping up on Six Buzz all the time, waving hello to people.
That's true.
Aquaman, okay? Superhero relevance is real.
Yeah.
But,
you're right.
Drake,
I've seen
no offense,
associates, but I have not seen the man.
No offense, Drake. I had your street team come up to me 2 years ago. There's a video online. I want everyone to go watch it after they hear this interview. Hell, look it up on your phone right now and save it for later. Add it to your watch later list. Go on YouTube and look up Toronto Spider-Man says, F*** Drake. It's a pretty hard video. They superimpose Drake's face over my head in the Spider-Man suit for the caption clip of the video. It's hilarious. But, Spider-Man goes off, and they offer me a brand new copy of Views.
Views, yeah.
Back when Views came out. And I wasn't a big Drake fan back then. I started to realize at that time in my hip-hop career, in my performing career, Drake wasn't all bad. He's a very talented artist.
I'm a fan myself.
He's Canadian.
I'm critical of him because
he's not Canadian anymore. He's very much Mike Myers or very much Jim Carrey.
Nah. I'm from Brantford, right?
Yeah.
And it's a hockey town because Gretzky is from Brantford.
Russell Peters doesn't do that.
No, Russell Peters is the realist, though.
He's the realist. Russell!
I love Russell from the Bees. But, like, I'm from Brantford. I love Wayne Gretzky. I'm a decent hockey player just because everybody from Brantford's a good hockey player.
Brampton. I know not Brantford, but Russell Peters, big up. Keep going.
Big ups to Russ. One of the funniest and smartest things.
Yo, next time I'm on a rhyme on a radio, I'm dropping big ups to Russ, and it's referenced back to this.
But yeah, what was I even talking about?
Sorry. We could read the audio and figure out.
I love myself a little Drizzy Drake, but you got to be critical of him because, you know, you just want to see what's good for the city.
And
you know what? Wayne Gretzky, hey, pal, you're the best athlete of all time. That's really what I think. And I know, obviously, people can debate it. All right, Spidey, we can debate who's the sickest athlete of all time. But I think
Toronto performers, Sean Desmond, has shown up in my life at dance competitions.
That's amazing.
as a man who used to rep O-Town and is the independent Justin Timberlake of the world. Right. Recognize what O-Town was. They were stream number three, Backstreet Boys, NSYNC, O-Town. Yeah. O-Town was number three on the top three, out of the boy bands.
Right.
The only one who's still around is Sean Desmond.
That's true.
Facts.
And his sideways mohawk.
And
sometimes you gotta have a sideways mohawk.
At dance competitions single fucking year, despite how famous he is. Every year. With little girls, with children, not as a bad thing, with parents, with moms, with grandmas, with brothers and sisters, Sean Desmond is showing up being like, hey, you know that guy who was a superstar, who did all the dancing in his videos? I'm here judging your dance competition. Do you know how honorable that is for so many little kids? If Chris Brown only did the same.
Nah, Chris Brown's got other stuff to do. He's got people to pop.
Chris is sick. Yo, backing up on...
Yo, chill.
Sorry.
You know what?
We're going
another detour. Skirt. Wayne Gretzky, you're my idol, but I don't see you in Brantford. That's all I'm pissed off about. Why are you making ice wine and whiskey? Not even in the town. Where's wine country at? What about Brantford and the murky water of the Guelph? The Guelph, Jesus Christ. The murky water of the Grand River. Why are you taking wine out of that, bro?
I seen Denzel Washington at TIFF, okay? He's American.
Right.
I'm just saying.
It's true.
Why can't Toronto Spider-Man walk up the road at TIFF, not be there to protect Captain America, who's got like 30 girls with superhuman shields around him? Not be there to cheer on the Hurricane Denzel Washington, who made that movie like 15 years ago.
That's
Toronto Spider-Man standing there being like, where is the mask? Where is Ace Ventura? I'm here at TIFF for the 8th year in a row, and I haven't seen Jim Carrey in our streets once.
You know what's interesting about that? There's a lot of hate being thrown at Justin Bieber. But you know what? Justin Bieber found a wife out in L.A., and he came back home.
Word!
He came back home. He's literally... What, he lives in air.
Yo, let's talk Bieber.
I mean, I shouldn't talk about where Justin is. I don't know if he ties that up.
Talk the dopeness that is Justin Bieber.
Listen,
and how
Peter,
lucky
we're here for you. We're here for the this universe and this country.
Yeah, but
Spider-Man. We're not talking about the MCU.
No, I feel you.
Talking about the new Miles Morales universe.
And we're not talking
about this Peter Parkour.
What I'm saying is...
Yo, I want this to be... This is about you, Peter.
Peter. Justin Bieber's my hero.
I love Justin. I used to hate the...
Me too.
Sometimes you grow
He's
up.
He's not a fucker.
You grow up. Yeah,
we grow up.
That's right.
He has been growing up.
He was always great. You've been performing as Spider-Man, living half a life in the big city. That's where I met you initially.
And the Big Apple of Canada.
That's
fucking
right.
Toronto.
The town. I'm not going to say it, but it's a number that comes
the
after five.
The Screwface Capital.
Yes. The Big Smoke.
The
T.O.
Yo, the Crack Mayor.
Right.
Rob Ford, R.I.P. Doug, we still see you.
That's one of my favorite Drake bars, actually.
No, Drake's sick, man. I don't hate him. Again, sorry, let's go back to Drizzy for half a second.
What else?
For half a second.
Yeah, what else about Drizzy Drake do you want to speak on?
God's plan. But it's all young money. He only hands it out one day, not funny. Yo, I think his nose is runny. I'm just saying, trying to go like G-O-D. But you're more of a D.O.G. Ooh. Snoop is coming free.
Whoa.
Yo. Anyway, Drake is sick. But I'm just saying, whether it's Nice for What, supporting women and their image, dope, great message, or God's Plan, it only happened once. Both of those things. I've been waiting for Drizzy to be positive like that for years. And he impressed me. Because what I was trying to say when I was hating on that other guy. Sorry, it was Drizzy. And when I hate in my head on Lil Wayne, which Drizzy's associated with, is Lil Wayne can never change his rap career. You gotta understand, Lil Wayne is so solidified, so like formed in what he does, that if he wasn't all lollipops and strip clubs and fucking bitches, Lil Wayne would lose his career at this point. He's like 50 Cent. He'll take you to the candy shop. He'll let you lick the lollipop.
Well, the history of Drake too, for me, I fell in love with old Drake the guy from Comeback Season, that mixtape.
I don't know Comeback
Season. That's early Drake.
I gotta get on that. Well, Drake, I'm sorry.
It was when people literally hated him and treated him like he was the Justin Bieber.
This is for Hamilton Radio, right?
Yes, it is.
Hamilton, I'm sorry. Steel City, I'm sorry. Keep going.
905, come alive, let's go. I loved him in that time because he was really like the first rapper other than the Kid Cudi's and Kanye West of the world who were like, yeah. I'm not about that gangster
stuff. Busting more cannabis for the Canadians.
I just want to hang out and I want nice clothes. I like nice clothes and wine and I like women. And he was very polite. He had a super Canadian
vibe. He was the Canadian Usher.
He really was. And like, I really liked him.
Usher still cheated on his girl.
Oh, he did? Damn, when the songs are real. Yeah, the songs are real. But yeah, Drake really, like, I felt like, oh wow, this is really if Hove never did drugs and was really polite.
Ooh, you just hit up Jay-Z!
Yeah. It was like if Hove never sold drugs and was really
pause
polite.
Pause the beat. My initials are MZ. I'm not an MC, I'm an MZ, and my dad's initials are Jay-Z. Ain't it crazy? I'm Jay-Z's baby.
You are.
My dad.
You might be.
By the way, Julian Zilio, great man, or great father. But yeah, let's jump forward.
All right, so my point was, you got into hip-hop, you got into performing in the city, you've touched shoulders with the OVO crowd. You've been a mainstay of the six buzzes of the world.
Oh, man, I'm feeling the hype.
The blog TOs of the world. And now you're back in the city of Guelph. I am not a Guelphite, and I've been living here for a little bit. You, too, are back here in the city.
Where I used to run the Royal City Mix.
What has brought you to Guelph, and what is the Royal City Mix?
The Royal City Mix was a mirroring festival of Manifesto. Do you know what Manifesto is?
A document of putting
Manifesto
out political...
Manifesto Toronto is an entire week cultural celebration every single year of hip-hop. Manifesto. The word manifesto is exactly what you were about to describe.
So manifesto, I should probably
Manifesto.
Manifesto is a
manifesto.
Hip-hop, is a hip-hop
festival. Biggest in Canada every year.
And you used to run the Guelph Hip-Hop Festival?
Yeah. I co-ran my very first project out of high school independently with Patrick Younger, who we mentioned earlier from the Skeleton Crew, which, by the way, the Skeleton Crew was indefinitely born out of the Royal City Mix. The Royal City Mix was me and Pat paying out of our pockets as high school students for an opportunity for people to go to Riverside Park and do music, which is funny because is that illegal? No,
it's not.
But you're not allowed to use the concert band shell unless you pay at least a grand out to the park in the city. But I'm indigenous, and I didn't know that until I was 30. So, 2009, 2010, 2011, 2012, reimburse me on indigenous status, $1,400 each year for my project to celebrate four elements of arts. Just like fire, earth, water, and air, the fire is the poetry.
Yeah.
The water are the backbone, or maybe the earth is okay. The DJing. Okay, so yeah. Fire and earth. The water is the art, the oil paints, the water
yeah,
paints.
Yeah, that's graffiti. That's okay. Cool. And the knowledge.
And what's
knowledge,
the last one?
Is knowledge the air? Is it the winds of wisdom?
I think we did fire, did water,
that's
we
gotta
did
be
earth.
It.
So air is dance.
Well, you know what? I'm speaking on... There's the four elements of hip-hop. For the listeners that don't know, the four elements of hip-hop are emceeing, which is rapping.
Rapping.
DJing, which is clearly DJing, but also, too, producers are considered
any form
within
of
that
tactical
element.
DJing. You know what's
yes.
funny about that,
even,
too?
Even instrument
since
players.
Since the creation of the turntable, which originally was just a record player, and some guy went, I'll use two at once in the same speaker system. He didn't even have a mixer.
Grandmaster Flash.
Maybe...
Yeah.
Cool Herc.
Cool Herc was the first person
to do what Grandmaster Flash did
perfected.
For free.
He no, because like Cool Herc was the first person to do what was it called, the Roundabout or whatever.
Cool Herc
so
had a
two
truck.
Records. He had two records, and he would spin them and stop one and then start the other one. But he did it without a mixer.
Cool Herc had a lowrider drop top with these
with the
two
sound
huge
system,
speakers
baby.
Hanging out the
yeah,
back.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's what he's known for.
But he started the hip-hop culture, the dancehall culture that came out.
Yeah. He started the B-boy movement.
Well, he started
Grandmaster Flash and him,
he started
B-boys.
The parties. He started the parties.
The parties, which are the most important.
Well, there's a whole bunch of things about it.
Before there were hip-hop shows, there were just block parties.
Yes. Peter, to be straight, he's a Caribbean dude. And they had sound systems back in the day, in the 60s and the 70s, and even the 50s, where people who couldn't afford the bands to go see them or pay
them.
We
got sound systems right now. I know. Hold on.
Kool Herc
Bluetooth mode
brought the sound system culture of Jamaica to New York and revitalized a whole genre of music, taking old records and obviously like the Latin jazzy records and funk records and other Caribbean records, ska and reggae music, and putting them together in these great parties and starting the sound systems that became what hip-hop is.
Hell yeah.
What is the point we're getting on? There are four elements to blood clot hip-hop.
Yes.
There is DJing. There is MCing, which is rapping. There is dance, which is breaking. And, of course, there is graffiti, which is the art. Now, the four elements are the standard, but KRS-One will tell you that there's a fifth element, and the
knowledge. Knowledge reigns supreme over nearly everybody. KRS-One came to wreck the party. Take it over.
Yes, Peter Parker.
Fourth element's knowledge.
So, Spider-Man. Spider-Man and hip-hop. Spider-Man, hip-hop, cosplay, performance.
They cross over pretty
quickly. What is the crossover? I mean, I've listened to an MF Doom record. I've seen a video of MF Doom, and there are cartoons in it. Why is that? Why is he sampling, 50...
Jay-Z, Story of OJ. It's all black and white Dumbo videos, cartoons.
100%. And the origins
and
of hip-hop.
And how racist is Dumbo? Sorry, continue.
The origins of hip-hop are actually very deeply intertwined with comic books, especially in, like, the late 70s. It was, like, it was everybody's medium in that time, and it was fun. And, like, the Zulu Nation guys and Grandmaster Flash.
Fuck,
just listen to how that sounds. That sounds like Flash Gordon. Like, that sounds like
it's supposed to sound like
hero.
The Flash.
It's an action hero vibe, and that's what originally hip-hop's vibe was before, you know, the 80s rolled around and we get our like Kangol hats and our leather jackets, and then in the 90s obviously our sagging pants and our New York
windbreakers,
yeah, and our
Nike Air Max
and our New York Brooklyn hats and whatever. Anyway, comic books, hip hop, comic books,
disco, hip hop,
Peter Parkour.
Yeah.
So what has brought you back to Guelph, Peter Parkour?
Prince is dead. No, I'm kidding.
Which Prince?
Purple Rain, baby. it's COVID-19, man. I hate to say it that way, but I joined this group called AIR. AIR stands for Afro-Indigenous Rising, and I joined them because I was already very confident for years skating in front of protests on a longboard as Spider-Man. So I started doing that at the Black Lives Matter movements, and I even made my Facebook page, which is still up, me in a black suit, Spider-Man suit, saying, "I can't breathe, Black Lives Matter." I like to call it my George Floyd suit, not my Miles Morales suit, okay? So anyway, I'm out there in my George suit, and I'm scanning through Nathan Phillips Square one night, and I meet an actress, and I use that word very intentfully. So this actress looks like Gwen Stacy, and she's been hired. And she lures me into joining a peaceful protest that involves camping out and occupying Nathanville Square. Dangerous thing for me to be doing, because I'm a City of Toronto employee, and it's illegal. And it's at City Hall. So I decide to do the right thing in my mind, and volunteer for this Black Lives Matter protest, taking cues from the internet, telling other people, hey, if the police come for us, hide behind me if they start shooting. Because I thought I was white, and I was trying to be Spider-Man. But there's this guy named Jonathan, and that's not his real name, as far as I know. Jonathan's got a twin brother, and they like to wear two different colors of plaid every day, sometimes switching it up. One's always in red, one's always in blue, and I didn't see the significance in that. So when I got down with AIR, which Jonathan owns, He's the leader of a peaceful protest for equality to defund the police and help indigenous and black people specifically. I'm there, and I say, Jonathan, I will volunteer my time as security if you will allow me to. He says, yeah. I say, I want to do it as Deadpool. He's like, but that Spider-Man shit's sick. Like, I want to do it as Deadpool. This isn't the right scenario for Spider-Man. He's like, okay. So I'm there as Wade Wilson for 2 days, but I'm waving around Nerf guns and I'm making people feel uncomfortable, and we're there to de-escalate the police and get rid of guns in Canada, right? No, I'll yell over the train. I mean this shit. So, like, I'm there as Wade Wilson. I'm like, this is messed up. This isn't right. Spider-Man is better for this job. So I come back with my superhero suit. I come back to my tent and I leave all my stuff there, and I feel so safe. Meeting all these great black and indigenous people, meeting all these great Canadians who are white and Mexican and all different backgrounds. Some are Asian, so they gotta be from Korea, they gotta be from Vietnam, they gotta be from Thailand, wherever they're from. I'm meeting people, and it's the most connected I've ever been to people since high school and since being in Toronto. Because to be honest with you, even in air, no one learned my name, and it was my own fault. Everyone just...
He was Spider-Man.
Used the name Peter Parkour with Peter Parker, thought I was Spider-Man, and didn't take the time to learn who Mark was, ever. So a busker came through for a rally on the Sunday after I'd been there for 3 weeks, and her name was Charmy. Charmy's a great busker from Kensington if you ever get a chance to go see her. She does musical rap performances, like vocally and playing her guitar. So anyway, Charmy comes, gets on stage at Nathan Fields Square, which we've occupied the stage, and we even have control to the electronics and the power there. And she's singing a song. If black lives matter, all lives matter, if black lives matter. And I've heard her sing this song before, and I'm loving it. So I chant it back, dressed as Spider-Man in the crowd. Suddenly, the energy changes. How dare this white man in our crowd sing All Lives Matter at a time like this? I have been sunburnt. I've been heat stroked for days. I've slept on the concrete at Nathan Phillips Square, putting my life on the line, seeing stabbings, not calling the police, fighting every instinct I have to go get help for these people. But they want to not police themselves, not film or document overdoses, not report them to medical people so that they don't judge our mental health. And at the same time, when there's an assault, just accept it, because black people are upset and they're allowed to fight. And I'm going along with it. But I've been told to shut the fuck up and mind my privilege more times than I can count in a week. And later on that night, Jonathan walks up to me and he says, Mark, let's go for a walk. And I trust him and I go with him. It's 5:15 in the morning on a Wednesday. In the middle of the square, when he thinks no one's around, he starts screaming, get out of here. Is this what you want? And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, is this what you want? Puts his hands around my neck. Starts choking me. I'm not swinging back. I'm not fighting. I'm like, Jonathan, stop. What are you doing, right? I go down on my knees purposely, not realizing I'm winding myself more while he's choking tighter and putting myself at a vulnerable position. And I'm like, I can't breathe. Stop. And freaking, there's three girls behind him. One's Asian, one's white. She's the actress who first got me involved 3 weeks earlier up the road. And one is Indian or Pakistani. Either way, three of my friends are watching. They have their Snapchats out and they're watching Snapchat. They see a guy murdering me, a white man being choked by a black man, but no one likes me on camp because I said all lives matter once. And I've been volunteering my life as Spider-Man for 3 weeks, protecting them, even though groups like Rebel Media are coming through and being violent with us. I'm there in fucking spandex being like, take me first. I say one more time, looking at the girls, hoping they'll do something, hoping they'll record. I can't breathe. Say his name. And he starts choking tighter. He eventually let go. I almost passed out. I pick myself up and I crawl away. I'm not even dressed as Spider-Man. I'm just me, and I leave all my things there. Again, I just got assaulted. I almost got murdered, and I have to leave all my things behind because my priority is get the f*** out of here and get back to my apartment and figure out what just happened to me. So I come back later on that morning, and I'm manic, and I'm upset. And to be honest with you, too, they stole my phone and destroyed it and told me to not use social media beforehand, so I hadn't been. My roommate had been worrying about me, wondering where the fuck I'd been. I wasn't paying attention to him. He's British and white, so why would I? All lives don't matter, though, right? When I get home, I tell him the truth, and I tell him I think I'm in a cult, and I think I'm in a gang. I think that guy's a f***ing blood, and they suckered me in here because they got 200 of my followers from my 5,000, and now my vocal cords are so destroyed that I can't even go yell about what happened. So I shave my head, I grab a staff, I go back there as the Avatar, like Aang, warrior monk, a very peaceful person. And I say quietly to one person who's listening to me, wondering what happened. A medic there, a volunteer medic, he tried to choke me to death. This isn't a peaceful protest. Out him now. Tell everyone what happened right now. And they refused. And they walked me off site and they said, you're manic, you need your medication, get lost. They stole my medication. They set up that situation. So now my followers won't listen to me. I don't have any way to contact them online. I'm waiting on more money because I've spent all my resources helping this movement, this gang, in donations. They have $80,000 worth of donations from George Floyd's death, Shakir Abbey, and Regis. But they won't reimburse people. They're a gang making profit off of people's pain. They're inciting war. And it's like Iron Man came and asked me for my help, and I didn't realize Cap was the only one doing the right thing. So here I am, going back again, dressed as Aang. And I slam my stick down, and I can barely talk, and I'm like, Batman, pointing my stick at him, tried to murder me last night. And you're telling me my life doesn't matter. Half the indigenous people in the circle have walked away because of bad vibes, and I didn't listen. I don't feel safe here, and I want anyone who doesn't to leave with me now. No one would. They tried to talk me into coming back and staying. And I said, until that guy's gone, until the guy leading a peaceful protest who's down and says, I got to talk with them at least once before they walked me off site, and they said I was manic and crazy. I'm lying on my back. I'm like, dude, you have to admit what you did. He's like, no. I'm like, are you okay with this? He's like, I'm good. I'm like, really, man, you're good with this? I can barely talk, keep in mind. He's like, yeah, I'm good. I'm good with this. All I heard was he was good with putting his hands around my throat the other night, and he's happy he got away with it. And I can't say anything more on interview because I went and I did the one thing you're not supposed to do. But I tried to stop him. And as a result of what I did, fines were landed and they got kicked out of Nathan Phillips Square. So they moved to the park across the road from my house. And they camped there. And they scared my roommate. And I got kicked out of my apartment by an ultimatum, even though you can't be evicted during COVID-19. I chose to leave because I know I f***ed up. And it's too heat for me to stay in Toronto because I'm too much of a celebrity. So I changed my appearance, I came home, and my parents won't help because I got a DNA test and I'm not white. My dad's 100% white. My mom either isn't or did something hence why I'm who I am. And if my mom won't get a DNA test, it means my brothers and sisters will keep paying for university even though it's costing them time, which is money in their lives. They're paying money and paying time, and they're probably indigenous too, or my mom did something. I don't know why my mom and dad don't want to talk about it, but it seems like it's the less positive reason.
It's easy to not talk about it, I bet.
Yeah, it's really easy to not talk about it if it was rape to my mom. It's even harder to talk about it if my dad threw me out of the house for smoking weed when, as an indigenous man, I always had a right to. And I only left Guelph and became Spider-Man because my dad was going to beat me one day for smoking weed, and I called the cops on him. And as an old white dude, he said, yeah, this over 18-year-old child is smoking marijuana, get him out. During Prohibition, I was the criminal. If I didn't want to get charged, I had to leave.
Right.
Even though my dad had my little sister there who was 8, and he was willing to put his hands on me back then, and I didn't fight back. I've had such a long fucking life of not fighting and not standing up for myself. And then, when I went to Toronto, I almost erased who I was to try to pretend to be Spider-Man. That. With great power does not come great responsibility. Responsibility is some bullshit word people use when they do something wrong and they're like, oh, I'm sorry, I'm responsible now. Accountability is what Stan should have said. With great power must come great accountability.
No, that's the whole story. It's so frustrating. You know, I became Spider-Man the very first time, breakdancing-wise, because I lived in Guelph and I was part of a crew with my best friends who competed in Toronto, and they were all mixed colors.
And they wouldn't let me battle with them because I was too white, because I tried too hard, and because my parents paid for dance classes for me. They all came from low-income families. They were all mixed. Half of their dads weren't there. They had to teach themselves everything, and they hated that I had so many role models helping me out. Maybe that was my white privilege back then. Since I left Guelph, I've been on my own the whole time. I've lost respect, left, right, and center, by doing things like surrounding myself with poor people and working on the street. No one gives a f*** about a busker. Either I make you smile and you tip me a little bit of change in your pocket, or you're like, this guy wants my money. And that's always it. F***ing great. I don't want to interact with you except for to take your money or protect you. Get used to it. Like all the other police in this nation. Mm-hmm. Only difference is, I don't wear a f***ing badge, and I don't make victims out of people who are trying to survive. So many police officers, oh, I'm sorry, you're doing crack tonight? You're going to the bin. Or maybe you're going to the blackout zone where we beat you a bit before you get there. What's that Dave used to say? There's a dead body over there, officer. Sprinkle a little crack on it.
Yeah.
Sprinkle a little crack on it. How many people do you think have died and they just sprinkle a little crack on it in police care? Oh, he OD'd. Oh, here's a junkie without a family that won't look for him. Right. Oh, I was frustrated. Guys, don't tell the chief. Protect and serve, motherfuckers. Turn in your badges if you can't. Because I'm serious. We need more Bruce Waynes. You want to defund the police? Get a detective who works with people in a mental asylum all the time. Get someone who understands psychology better than Dr. Phil, but who's stronger than Terry Crews.
That's a bar.
It's not a bar.
It's more than a
bar. It could be a bar. It's fucking real talk.
There has to be education in the police force.
There has to be
They don't know what they're doing.
There doesn't have to be.
Not education.
The police are fine the way they are. You know what? There are a lot of good police officers who work hard and learn a lot of good things. The problem is, when someone in your community sees you wilding out and having a bad day, and they go, oh, he's a minority, I'm going to call the cops on him. And I'm going to say he's threatening me. I feel threatened. When you're Karen calling the cops on a guy walking his park, sorry, his dog in the park, and he's black, and you say you feel like he's going to assault you because his dog was off the leash and you didn't like that, tried to lick you, you're a Karen. Karen has publicly apologized. Everyone knows who I'm talking about. Oh. That girl is very sad for what she tried to do to that Jamaican man. Mm. And that happened in Central Park in New York City. If Spider-Man was swinging overhead and saw that shit happen, I would have webbed her mouth closed. Right then and there, I would have taken the phone and been like, officers, don't worry, Spider-Man's on the job, I got this. And told the brother he was fine. Like, that's so ridiculous. And P.S., one more thing. I'm so thankful I don't live in the States where there's guns and police are going to shoot me openly just whenever. And it's not I'm white and I'm less likely to be shot. I'm telling everyone right now on...
Expect defiance.
Expect defiance. Here's the simple fact, okay? If I saw what was happening to George Floyd happen, there's three police officers standing around doing crowd control instead of watching their partner choking a man to death, and no one says, yo, buddy, you got to put the handcuffs on and stop winding him. We're only supposed to use that maneuver for half a second on violent people, not peaceful people who are cooperating during arrest. George did not deserve to die. He didn't, okay? And again, if I was there as Spider-Man or as Mark, and I saw that happening, if I was coming out of the grocery store and I saw, I can't breathe, I can't breathe, I would have drop-kicked that officer in the back of the head with my knee or my elbow. And when they moved on me with guns, I would have defended myself. You know why? Because if that black girl defended George, who was videotaping, instead of videotaping, they would have been on her like a swarm of hornets. She couldn't do anything except for be a witness. Maybe my white privilege could have gotten me and George arrested and both of our asses beat, but we'd both be alive and tell the story the next day. What's that they say? Live to fight another day?
Yeah.
If you don't fight today, others won't live. That was George. He wasn't in a position to fight for himself. He was too black. He was being accused of something very bad. He had a history as a meth addict and as a narc. A lot of people don't know. He worked with those police officers. He was their co-worker. He was their friends. They got him hooked on drugs because they were corrupt through undercover work. They may not have done it directly, but oh, you want to volunteer as a black man and be a narc for us? Go hang out with the druggies. Oh shit, you're a druggie now? We're going to hustle you and arrest you and beat you to death. Oh, too bad it happened? Shit, we got caught on video. This is how a civil war starts in the USA. This is how a civil war starts on Turtle Island in Canada. Everyone is triggered by George Floyd's death because everyone was sitting at home saying, hey, there's a scary virus. We don't know what to do. We're only going to the grocery store when we have to. And the cops are still killing us. Aren't they supposed to protect us while we're at home? Taxpayers? At home, my experience as Toronto Spider-Man has always been, I walk into a hospital, I see a homeless man bleeding, he says, Spider-Man, Spider-Man, my name's Mark, dude, Spider-Man, I have AIDS, I'm bleeding, help, oh shit, man, call the police, I can't, I don't have a phone, you're across the road from the 52 division, can you make it there, I don't want to trail blood across the sidewalk, I have AIDS, say no more, man, I'm on it, pull off my mask, longboard across the road, jump onto the sidewalk, run into the 52 division, not realizing I'm dressed as Spider-Man. And when I run in looking like a psychopath in a superhero suit, and I'm like, officers, officers, I need help now. I'm like, don't tell us what to do, Spider-Man. Oh, no. Dude, my name's Mark. Listen. No, Spider-Man, you listen. Bro, I'm here to help someone. Yeah, we help people. Dude, don't be like that. Spider-Man, shut up. Go back outside. Officer, excuse me? Go back outside. I'm here to report a crime. What crime? Someone just got assaulted. Did you see the assault? No. So you didn't see the assailant? No. Officer, there's a man bleeding who has AIDS across the road. He needs your help. That's an EMS problem. Call the medics. Excuse me? You're on the hour. I'm not on the clock. You call the medics. F*** you, Spider-Man. Excuse me, officer? My name is Mark. I am not Spider-Man. I'm a busker for the city of Toronto. I might as well be your freaking co-worker. All right, what's the problem, Spider-Man Mark? My name's not Spider-Man, Officer Dickhead. Whoa, don't call me Dickhead. My name's Mark. Okay, Mark, what's the problem? Holy shit, that only took 10 minutes. What if the guy's bleeding out? So, Officer Dickhead, Canada's a place of free speech, and I'm now standing up for myself instead of him. The man's bleeding. He's homeless. He needs you. He doesn't have a phone. Oh, shit. He's homeless, eh? Why? Because if he's homeless and he doesn't have an address for me to go to, how am I going to find him? He's across the road with blood surrounding him. Oh, but what if he refuses my assistance because I'm a police officer? So what you're saying, officer, is you have an excuse not to show up. What I'm saying is the excuse is standing in front of me. Why don't you go take care of it, big guy? Fine, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. I'm back out across the road buying a water bottle with my busking change, clearing blood off the sidewalk, and the homeless man's dragged his body away already. Because he's ashamed and he knows no one's coming to help him. F*** the police. F*** that police officer specifically and not the good ones. You know, there are good officers. The problem is, if they were really good, they would realize that the name police needs to die. The Nazis got erased from history. People hate them to this day. If there's so many people with so much pain who say, "F*** police," why aren't there the Avengers? Why aren't there the Power Rangers? Why isn't there the A-Force or the Cobra Commanders or the G.I. Joe? I don't know. My point is, get a new f***ing original name. Represents something different that doesn't have a history of murder, and we can end the interview. But until then, I have to talk on and advocate, because that's why I joined AIR.
So, Mark.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do you want to be Spider-Man?
No.
Then who do you want to be?
I want to be who I've always been. I made a legacy, not as Peter Parker, not as a guy who can swing from webs and claw up walls and save people, but as a guy who makes people smile and makes the community safer through movement, through martial arts, through courage, and through cosplay. I am Peter Parkour. I just never was Peter Parker, and I'm sick of people getting it twisted. The reason why Disney sent me a cease and desist and couldn't touch me is because I never claimed to be Spider-Man. If you're Spider-Man without hyphen, it's not copywritten. If you're Peter Parkour, it's not copywritten. I had a Facebook account closed, and I'm sure it was because of someone in Hollywood. Because I had so many followers, because I had so much beautiful photography with real-life Spider-Man shit in Toronto, and they claimed I'm impersonating a living celebrity. That proves how good I am at what I do. Peter Parker isn't a living celebrity, but how he's unique as a character of fiction is Disney just purchased him, and Stan Lee was alive while I was still acting as him. So Stan was alive, and Stan had a problem with me. He could send a cease and desist and say, that guy's stealing my art, even as a parody artist, even as a tribute artist. But now Stan's dead. So now that Stan's dead, in 50 years, Spider-Man would have been public domain. All of Marvel would have. Sadly, just like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, just like my religion, which is thankfully a religion, Jediism, is protected through faith, unlike Marvel, because it's not recognized as a faith yet to follow superheroes. Yet. Disney completely controls everything except for Star Wars, really. And the reason for that is Walt Disney isn't dead. He's cryogenically frozen in a freezer. He was the first person in history in Hollywood out of the 1% elite to turn around and say, oh, I'm dying of lung cancer. Freeze me. It's his lungs, dude. What happens if they pull his brain out, go all Futurama, hell, put it in a Terminator? That might sound crazy. What if the Walt Disney family that's alive, with their 1% power, owns half of Google? What if Google's Skynet? What if Skynet makes robot bodies? What if with the right technology in 20 years, with the ability to take someone out of a freezer without destroying all their brain cells, Walt Disney walks this racist man from the era in the 60s who made the original Dumbo and all the concepts behind it? Very racist movie.
And he's a virulent anti-Semite, from what I understand.
And he's a huge anti-Semite. Can you say that again, Danzel, in your own voice?
I have read that he's a virulent anti-Semite as well.
What if Walt Disney walks out into our new world as unemotionally involved, evolved or involved, and as unmorally correct? Not politically correct, immorally correct he was in the past. Shows up with 1% power, and he's like, hey guys, I have a perfect body. You can have one too, through my money and my wealth and my science. But I'm the emperor. Star Wars, baby. Galaxy a long time ago in a place far, far away? Nah, it's happening in North America right now. We're about to get off the planet. And in the next couple of hundred years, if Elon Musk and them are successful, and we do, and there's Star Trek ships going out there, like Picard, all these things are so relevant. Really think about it, viewers, okay? Steel City. The Steel City where they'll probably build half the ships. Think about it. If we get up into space, or if we even go Jetson style, and all the poor work on the ground making shit, and everyone with flying cars is up on discus in the air or on poles like the CN Tower, except for you live on a condo on the top of the CN Tower. Imagine that, right? I never have to see an ugly person in the street again. I'll just take my flying car over to Starbucks. Just take my flying car. Oh, I don't even have to go to the bank. I'll get an Uber Eats flying cyclist to bring me my dinner later. Who's poor, who comes from the ground, but he can't live up here. He only rides a bike up here. And he might fall out of the sky if someone in a car decides to bump his ride. Yeah, you know that? Even when we're up in the sky and there's all the room on the road, people are still going to give cyclists a hard time. It's called classism, and it's the oldest form of prejudice.
Mark?
The Egyptians and the poor.
Mark.
Yeah, sorry.
Don't be sorry. We're going to close this out. It was amazing talking to you. Can you say your name? Do you mind? Or is it Peter Parkour enough?
Wait a second. I smoke so much weed. Does this count as hot ones? I'm trying to say, Mary Jane is in the room. Do I get my 30-second plug-in? I made it through the gauntlet.
So, Mark, what is next for Peter Parkour?
What is your next? I'm probably headed to Montreal. I'm probably headed to Niagara Falls. I gotta get out of Guelph. I've decided this isn't the spot for me. I might head back to Toronto, but wherever I go, I will do as I have done until it stops working, and then I will reinvent myself, simply. I like being a man of mystery, and I don't need to give everything away. I've already shared so much. But to end things on a positive note, this has been Peter Parkour, the Toronto Spider-Man, or now just a Canadian Spider-Man out on the run. I'd like to encourage everyone, in the wise words of Miles Morales, anybody can wear the mask. And like Batman said, Christian Bale, you don't wear the mask to protect yourself, you wear it to protect the people who you're out there fighting for.
What a great note to finish this off. That was Expect Defiance. Take care
expect
of yourself.
It. Expect the unexpected on Expect Defiance.
100%. Pick up a comic book today.
Or on Free Comic Book Day.
100%.
take your COVID time to go dig in some Alan Moore. Go check out, what are you reading these days? I just read Doomsday Clock finally. Oh. I just finished it. It was fun. Well, it wasn't actually that great, but I enjoyed it.
I gotta grab a book.
I guess. Yeah, read your comic books.
I guess.
Peter Parkour. He's been reading.
I guess you guys could check out Paradise Comics on Young. They're pretty incredible. They give out free comic books to kids who come in with report cards with A's.
Shout out to Paradise Comics.
Paradise Comics on Lawrence and Young. And, Lawrence Station. This is Nylon Street, the Nylon Book of Global Style, Universal Publishing.
I like that.
And yeah, it was $24 US, 35 Canadian, but I didn't pay a cent because it was from a Take a Book library.
There you go.
Stay local.
Peter Parkour. Mark, give us one record you want to play, and we'll play you out with it.
Oh, big record, baby. Big record. All right. I want to end this on a positive note. So, I say we bounce with You by Evidence, representing Dilated Peoples and Cats and Dogs.
Yeah. Yo, microphone check, 1, 2. Yo, who's the one that's been running the race? Who's the one that's been running in place? And who's the one you tried to find so tough, but the whole time I'm sitting right in front of your face? Yes, I'm on another level, I mean another label. Players don't die, we try and look at other tables. And when I lose, I learn, I'm still winning major. I jump forward and back and through the missing stages. A perfect day to make a perfect entrance. A perfect sentence I can't perfect, but I just keep pushing pencils. No fake trace stencils, and do it all by hand so they have respect. Shit. I know the feeling when you're dealing with accomplishments, wishing they would diss you instead of give you compliments. That's what made you who you are, know what you became. Part of being a star is getting burnt in flames. Kinda ill, the mind's a trip. 2020 when we broke the blinding bitch. I just see it as a sign, but kept rhyming instead. And keep lighting up these paths like Simon says. What? Who's the one that's been running the race? Who's the one that's been running in place? And who's the one you tried to find so tough, but the whole time I'm sitting right in front of your face? Now I'm set, ready to jet. Print. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Now I'm set, ready to jet. One's a lonely number, two's the first loser. So how the fuck can you win? Become a drug abuser. Slapping these beats, I'm no snoozer. 6 million ways to die, go ahead and choose one. We from the same block, but all we getting is the same guap. I think one of us needs to shine, only room for one. One of us needs to go, a sinking boat, and only one to survive. Caution at the wheel, west side when I drive slow. First sign of tidal waves when you see the tide low. Wanted for murder and death, they said I'm liable. I shot the sheriff, but didn't steal his rifle. I can't define what's real and what's imagination. Since I signed that deal before my graduation, I went from running track and field to tracks with field to Grammys with Ye before late registration. Who's the one that's been running the race? Who's the one that's been running in place? And who's the one you tried to find so tough, but the whole time I'm sitting right in front of your face? Now I'm set, ready to jet. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Fast forward, no kids, one car, no rollie, one crib, trips to Chile, a cushion of Philly. Every journey starts with one step, that's on me. One foot in front of the other, like come on, feet. One life, one love, energy for one glove. For Mike, rest in peace, shot a bullet from one snub. I keep it pushing as one does, you only get one shot, one glance, one chance, and one buzz. One never knows with hopes and dreams. The farther you fly, the closer it seems. Back to the one square, all I need in this life is one snare. One mic, direct flight, tonight one airs. One of a kind, still one to my grind. Still one time, fill your motherfucking mind. And I know, when I flow, let the rain soon come. See, you might win some, but you just lost. Who's the one that's been running the race? Who's the one that's been running in place? And who's the one you tried to find so tough, but the whole time I'm sitting right in front of your face? Yeah. Now I'm set, ready to jet.
We number one.
Now I'm set, ready to jet. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Jet. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Now I'm set, ready. Now I'm set, ready to jet. Jet.
One.
That was the one and only Peter Parkour. Now, I cannot speak on and verify and also co-sign all of the things represented within that interview. I just wanted to have Peter speak his piece. Peter Parkour, the great Spider-Man of Bloor and Dundas, is currently homeless because of the COVID situation. People aren't going downtown to support. They're trying to live their own life in quarantine. So he's out in Guelph trying to scrounge to survive. But peace to you, Peter, and thank you for being on the podcast and speaking your truth. I can't speak precisely on air or the events that all happen, but I hope that we all send out some peace and love to Peter and see where you can take all the gems out of that interview there. Thank you for listening to Expect Defiance on this Tuesday. That was an intense, strange, confusing, and beautiful and brilliant episode, in my opinion. I'm going to play some records for y'all. And yeah, hit us up on the Grizzam at Expect Defiance Podcast. Facebook too, Expect Defiance. It'll do. Link us. Tell us if you like it. If you hate it, what would you rate it? The whole thing, you know? Thanks for listening once again. And yeah, you got all the defiance you expected from us, didn't you? Alright, let's play some cuts for you before we sign off. This is Lingua Ignota, I believe I'm pronouncing that correctly, and the tune is called Do You Doubt Me, Traitor?
How can you doubt me?